love of God to flow. It flows on the basis of people who believe that the Word of Jesus Christ is all-powerful and believe that the will of God is to minister wholeness and are available to whatever inconvenience is involved on their part. Ministry is inconvenient. That's the very nature of ministry. But our compassion and our love must override that momentary inconvenience.
Welcome to Your Place of Grace with Evangelist Anthony Sluzes. We're taking the message of salvation, Holy Spirit renewal, and healing through the finished work of Christ to the world by every available means. If you'd like more information about Your Place of Grace Ministries and our resources, visit yourplaceofgrace.com.
Hey everyone, this is Anthony Sluzes, and I welcome you once again to Your Place of Grace podcast. Today we're going to talk about our healer, our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we read through Matthew chapter 8, and it's a wonderful chapter, as we read through Matthew 8, we learn that the healing ministry of Jesus is a fulfillment of prophecy. As the Apostle Peter reminded us later in the New Testament, that Jesus took our infirmities and he bore our sicknesses. And this was originally prophesied in the Old Testament in Isaiah 53, verse 4. The focal point of our study today isn't only the fact that Jesus does heal, but he wants to use us, you and me, as an agency through which his healing power is communicated and transmitted to others. Oh, yeah. When Jesus heals, what we do with that healing is just as important to the Lord as when we've received it. God isn't going to randomly heal people who use their life for self-destruction or for ruining other people's lives. See, we can't live just any old way and think that God has to pick up the pieces after we've made a wreck of our bodies. And yet, even then, God intervenes. Praise God. Even then, when we've made a wreck of our lives and of our bodies, of our health, through sin, even then, when we repent, God steps in. He intervenes, saves, and heals. When we come to Jesus, he works deliverance, often bringing a new hope and a new lease on life. But what we do with our life after being healed and saved is also very important. Let's talk about healing and serving. In Matthew 8, verses 14 and 15, we read that Peter's mother-in-law was sick with a fever, a terrible fever. It took but a touch from Jesus to make her well. Then she instantly arose and saw to the needs of all those who were present in the house. Her healing was a springboard to serving others. How about when Jesus touches us? Oh, yeah. When Jesus touches us and we're healed, we can believe that he has the ability to touch other difficulties in our lives, too. We become people who understand and who receive the dimensions of his power. There are two important principles that I want to touch on here. First, when the Lord touches one particular area of our life, we must not limit his reach. Meaning, he can touch other areas of difficulty as well. And secondly, we, you and I, can be the middleman, so to speak. We can be the significant person who makes a difference whether or not the healing flow comes to someone. Our example is the centurion in Matthew chapter 8. Read that chapter. Oh, please read Matthew 8. It's beautiful. Then the Bible talks about the word of faith. Matthew 8, verses 3 through 13, is often used to teach one of the great power principles of the Bible. That principle is called the word of faith. It is knowing that what God says is true, and it rules and overrules any circumstance where we abide in that faith. See, circumstances don't matter. It's the spirit of the love of God and the compassion of Christ that ministers those things. However, this principle is still in effect even when the word of faith that we're confessing doesn't seem to work out the way we've wanted it. This isn't because God backed down on his word, no, but because somehow we didn't properly understand how to apply the key to that circumstance. Then in the same chapter of Matthew 8, we learn about the centurion and his servant. We learn from that passage that the servant was healed the same hour that Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you." We find nothing in the text that says the servant did anything before his healing happened. There's one significant point, though. The centurion mentioned that this servant was faithful in doing all that he was told to do. His faithfulness touched his master's heart. The wholeness which came to the servant was actually the glorious product of what someone else did. A display of God's grace and healing came because the centurion was willing to be an instrument of intervention and because of his faith in God. Now, in regard to healing, dear ones, God is willing. You can be sure of that. God's will is to deliver. His will is to save. His will is to fill. His will is to heal. Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." Praise God. Here again is the divine affirmation that God was ready, willing, and able to heal right then and right there. Jesus is the express image of the Father's will in everything he did in ministry. The fullness of the Father is manifested in him. Jesus always responds to the call for help and brings healing. Anything short of this has to do with our incapacity to receive all that God has to give. Now, sometimes healing is immediate. And in other instances, it takes time. But that doesn't mean it won't happen. Our responsibility is to be open to it. Amen? Jesus marveled at that centurion's faith when he said, "Only speak a word and my servant will be healed, Lord." This Roman soldier recognized that Jesus was functioning in unlimited authority. Therefore, nothing was outside the arena of possibility. Two things are notable in this story: his rejection of social tradition and his recognition of Jesus' power. You see, a Roman doesn't come to a Jew for any reason, because Jews were subjugated by Romans. On the other hand, Jews don't have anything to do with Romans either. But this centurion and Jesus were rejecting the norm. When we recognize that Jesus has the situation within his domain of operation, we too can become instruments which release the power of God to other people who are suffering. We must understand that Jesus can and will work healing in people. It is his will, and he will do it today through us. Jesus searches for an agent or a middleman who can receive something for someone else. It takes more than just people who know how to speak the word of faith, though. There's a sympathy, a compassion, which moves us into action. In this case, the master broke social tradition and sought help because his servant was, the Bible said, dreadfully tormented. The centurion came to Jesus, violating all that he was taught. There really does need to be a certain breaking with tradition in every one of us, dear ones. We need to be willing to upset our own ideology and then open up to a flow of compassion. By believing that the word of Jesus Christ is powerful in any situation, we become agents of that flow to people. We must believe that Jesus' ministry is divine in nature and beyond the ordinary. The power of the Lord Jesus Christ can heal the sick and afflicted when we believe in prayer. It's not just a matter of human effort or formulas or incantations spoken in repetition until we finally believe. No. We're talking about the promises of God, where those things are entrusted to the church to live in, to experience, and to minister. See, divine healing is a matter of people being healed and made well, being made whole by the power of Jesus Christ, according to God's word, ministered in His love. So, dear one, are you willing? Huh? Are you? Until the Church of Jesus Christ learns how to be the agency by which the Lord works, there will be a lot of sickness prevailing in the world. The paralytic in Luke chapter 5, verses 16 through 20, was carried to Jesus by the man's friends. We can find paralytics in so many parts of life. Those whose lives are falling apart because they're physically crippled, emotionally crippled, or sociologically crippled. Sickness cannot survive when people decide to break with tradition and reject social convention and let compassion fill their hearts. When we come to the Savior to receive from Him that one who is of a distance and believe Him for the flow of life in that person, we will be those agents and instruments of healing. You know, sometimes people think that they don't want to bother Jesus for His provisions. That's sad. There are others who don't move into action because they just don't want to bother doing it or aren't even bothered by it. Dear one, when you're willing to be bothered or inconvenienced, you must move into the liberty of seeing the power of God pass from you to someone else. There's healing in the name of Jesus. Healing in the touch of Jesus. But we must be the ones who touch others, allowing His love to flow through us. For the love of God to flow, it flows on the basis of people who believe that the word of Jesus Christ is all-powerful and believe that the will of God is to minister wholeness and are available to whatever inconvenience is involved on their part. Ministry is inconvenient. That's the very nature of ministry. But our compassion and our love must override that momentary inconvenience. We're to be willing to see the truth in being a middleman in being a channel of the healing life of Jesus through us into the lives of others who are struggling, sick, infirmed, broken. I remember a story that a wonderful man of God in years gone by, he shared a personal story. This former pastor said that he was in earnest prayer, and oh, he was praying so hard, and you know, the spit was flying, and he was shouting and praying in the church one day, and he's on his knees desperately beseeching God and shouting, "Work by your power, Lord God, work by your power." Time and again, he pounded this out before the Lord, "Work by your power, Lord." Then suddenly God interrupted him with these words whispered into the man's spirit. The Holy Spirit said to this pastor, "Son, I work by my love." Whew, praise God. See, when we let God break in to do what he wants, putting our own thoughts aside and how he'll do it, hey, he does it in his time and in his way and in his perfect will. Praise God. Be willing to be a vessel of Jesus' healing power and compassion toward others. Father, I thank you for this time together with my friends today. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. Lead us and guide us by your good Holy Spirit. Lead us, Lord, to those who are struggling, suffering, sick in body, those who have broken hearts, broken lives. They're all around us. They're all around us, Lord. Open our eyes to see them. Open our hearts to discern what they need and when they need it. And may your love and compassion flow from our hearts to them, that we may take the time to stop, to minister to them, to pray for them, to lay hands on them and watch them recover in the name of Jesus. Thank you for this great privilege, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God, everybody. Hey, thank you for listening. Pastors, if you're listening, please do go to our website, yourplaceofgrace.com, and check out the testimonials page of my website. See what God has been doing in our services all across America. And please do consider inviting us to come and to speak in your church. God's doing great things through this ministry. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on my Jesus. So please do consider it, pastors. You won't be disappointed. And we have a book out, our latest book, our 11th book. It's called The Forgiving Heart. You can find The Forgiving Heart at Amazon and at my website, yourplaceofgrace.com. The Forgiving Heart is both in paperback and Kindle formats. If there's anything we need in this world right now, it's love and a forgiving heart. Buy several copies. Pass them around to friends, coworkers, family, classmates. And I know you'll be blessed by it. I know you'll love the book. Until we meet again, hey, thanks for listening. And may the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you and always have his smiling countenance toward you. And may he give you peace, protection, prosperity, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Laughter and unconditional love within your marriage, family, and home. And may he grant you great favor everywhere you step foot, all the days of your long, long life. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening to Your Place of Grace with Anthony Slusis. We trust the podcast was a blessing to you. If you'd like more information about our ministry, resources, testimonials, and to schedule Anthony to speak at your event, go to yourplaceofgrace.com.